We pray in Yahusha's name that this will bless you. Ministering today about the law under Yahweh's covenant, his one covenant in love to obey him through the Messiah, Yahusha, by the power of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. And today, I, Stephan Yah, will be reading from the Word, particularly in the newer scriptures, the Brit Kadoshah, in the book of Romans, chapter 9, that's first, 9:26, going through 10, verse 5. Then also in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and Galatians 2, Ephesians 2, Ephesians 5, and then there will be a bunch of other little, like James. We'll be reading some of that too, James chapter 5. And the purpose of this is to talk about read about the difficult scriptures concerning Yahweh's Torah. Some that would be easy for an evangelifish to interpret as that the law was done away with. And I'm not going to be doing an all-encompassing, covering every base and building every fence on this broadcast. Also, I would like to ask you a favor, if you could please encourage us by sending an email. Now, that contact button on the website hasn't been working for too many people, because I only hear from one person in the world as of the last couple of months. No one else has been able to contact me. I don't know if you've even tried, but I think you have. I have a little hit counter, a free hit counter, and it tells me that so many people have checked the website, but it doesn't tell me some of the particulars. But it does say somebody tried email, and I'm not seeing any emails. So here's what you could do, is just please send it to me using the, typing it in manually. Stephan Yah at yahweh.name. Once again, Stephan Yah, which is spelled with a T, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, Stephan Yah, and that's the at sign up there on the top there, that in the left-hand corner, the 2 holding down the shift, and then press 2, and that gives you at, for those of you who didn't know that. And Yahweh, Y-A-H-V-A-H, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, .name, name. And I know that seemed kind of long there. It seems like it's long, but it's really very, very simple. Stephan Yah, Yahweh, Yahweh, .name. And, don't use .com. That's not going to work for the email. But and what I'd like to hear from you is just a shalom. And, if you're tuning in from another country, that would be different. Encouraged, if we hear from some of you folks in South Africa, Russia, France, Belgium, Spain, and the East Coast of the United States. Like to hear from some of you folks, and tell me if there's any technical problems, like you don't really like our player, you'd rather have a different kind of player. Maybe I can change that or something. Also, I'm not going to go into this real technically here, but say in the text, if there's something there that I could do better for you, making that the text available on the website, yahweh.name. And let's see. Just anything. If it doesn't work for you, I need to try to change different things on that website so it will work out there. And isn't it a funny thing that we're still here, the year 2011, and that Yahweh hasn't come back in his second coming yet, even though Harold Camping insisted that Yahweh would. He also said 1994, and other people have picked other dates. Ellen G. White with 1844, Charles Taz Russell in 1914, I think it was, with the Jehovah's Witness, Herbert W. Armstrong, Hal Lindsey in the 70s and early 80s there, that they were supposed to be dates of the Second Coming. But we didn't predict the year 2000. We didn't go along with 2001 either, the beginning of the century. But we do believe that the end of the man's reign on earth, the 6,000th year, is coming to an end in around 2030, somewhere around there, and that no man knows the day or the hour of Yahweh's second coming. But anyway, somewhere around there, that Yahweh may return, because the 7,000th year is going to be coming to pass, and that's the rest year of Almighty Messiah, so we want to get ready for that. And you know what happens if we're wrong about that 2030, that I'm not going to be here anymore. What? How do I know that? Well, because I'd be too old, unless I live to be 120, I guess. Okay. Then it's possible I could live to be, to 2050. I think I could be maybe even more than that. It doesn't really matter that much, because the moment you die and you rest, it says you're dead, like Acts chapter 2, David is still dead and buried, and his sepulcher is still with us unto this day in Acts 2. But it will seem like the next moment that you open your eyes, when Yahweh comes back in that great second coming, when the trumpet is sounded, it'll seem just like it was the next second. In other words, that you hadn't been in the grave for thousands of years. It will just seem like a second or two or something. Because you're sleeping. You're unconscious. You don't know what's going on or anything. And I don't know how that works. I can't tell you how a apple seed can grow a huge tree. I don't know how any of that stuff works. So I can't explain how man could die and then come back through the power of Yahweh's resurrection. Or Yahosha's resurrection. Here we go now, with enough of that. Romans 9:26. Some of these are difficult passages when it comes to the law. So I just want you to hear those, even though you're messianic, possibly. But you believe the entire word of Yahweh. You believe all the scriptures. But when people read these, they may challenge you, sometimes very arrogantly, as to that you're wrong about the law and believing in Yahweh's law and all that. And they sometimes get very obnoxious and arrogant. I've also seen Sabbath keepers get very, even more obnoxious. So yeah, I got to be prepared for those people as well. I hope that you're not one of them. I hope I never was. 9:26, Romans. Oh, I like that. 9:25, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, Hosea 1:10, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living mighty one. It says G-O-D here, we don't use G-O-D. So now we're in Romans 9:27. Isaiah, not Isaias, the Greek there, but Isaiah also crieth concerning Yisrael, though the number of the children of Yisrael be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work will Yahweh make upon the earth, not L-O-R-D, but Yahweh will make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except Yahweh of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom, and been made like unto Amorah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness? Is even the righteousness which is of faith? That should be a question mark there. What shall we say then? There's a question mark there. That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? So, grammatically, you got to have more than a period there. It should be a question mark. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. So, in general, generally speaking, they had not. Of course, certain ones like Isaiah, certain ones like Moses or Abraham, they obeyed Yahweh's law and his covenant. And in verse 32, the last two verses here, wherefore, because... Or why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Now that wouldn't be all-inclusive. Abraham followed Yahweh by faith, even though he kept Yahweh's law, statutes, and judgments. it says in the book of Genesis. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled at the Messiah. He's the stone, the rock of offense. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We believe on the rock, and the Messiah, he is the rock. And it gives a reference to Isaiah 28, that he gives his word line upon line, here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little, that they might stumble and fall back. And also Isaiah 8:14, which is very familiar. And here it is. And he shall be for a set apart place, or a mikdash, not sanctuary, but for a set apart place, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Yisrael, both the houses being the northern tribes and the southern tribe of Yehuda, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my emissaries or disciples. Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They look unto themselves, they look unto the earth, and behold, trouble, darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Verse 22. Yeah, there is no light in them. They don't have that. Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. So that's speaking of Messiah here. So in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Abba, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, not the decrease, but the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Yahweh sent his word unto Yaakov, and it lighted upon Yisrael, and so on. So continuing back there in Romans, before we get into the book of John, Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Yahweh for Yisrael is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of Yahweh, but not according to knowledge. You go into a charismatic or Pentecostal assembly, there's a lot of zeal there, of, you know, the singing these familiar songs, popular songs that are written there for charismatics, but where's the knowledge? Where's the truth? I don't know if it really applies to that situation, but to me it seemed like it did. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Like what? Like, don't dance, don't drink, don't smoke. Well, I wouldn't smoke, and I probably should not dance with somebody else's wife either. And drinking, that could be overdone quite easily. And no cursing, by the way. None of us should do that. So, no cursing, drinking, dancing, or smoking. But that's the only, that's where it ends with them. They have no other law other than that, you know, or thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not murder. That's about all the laws that they'll submit to. And they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Yahweh. Not just his imputed righteousness, but, you know, they have not submitted to Yahweh's righteousness described in his word. For Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Did he do away with the law? Well, we could go to other scriptures in the New Testament, the so-called New Testament, and using, you know, finding the word end and see how that applies there. In every situation, it doesn't mean the end of it means the fulfillment or the goal. The goal at which the Torah aims is Messiah. I'll repeat that. And then, who offers righteousness to everyone who trusts in Him. Yahusha, the Messiah, offers righteousness. So, for the end of the law is Messiah, or in other words, for the goal at which the Torah aims, is Messiah. And then James 5:11, as my wife hands me the scriptures there from the book of James, and that says what pretty much what we are saying there. And we'll go to Romans 12 after that, which I have. It's just another 2 pages away, but James 5:11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Eov, and have seen the end of Yahweh." See, people are saying there is no God. Well, doesn't that confirm it right here, that we've seen the end of him, according to that interpretation by the Protestants? They're protesting Yahweh's law. Instead of protesting some of the laws of the Catholic Church, they're protesting Yahweh's Torah. And they say the end, Romans 10, means that the law was ended. But if we use that same connotation, then every other place in Scripture, we'd wind up with, we've seen the end of Yahweh. We have, you know, there's no more. He's disappeared or something. But that's not true. So we've seen the goal of Yahweh, that Yahweh is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, swear not neither by heaven and earth and so on. That was James 5:11. Thank you. I don't know what our next tangent verse is going to be. Find that in a moment. But Romans chapter 12 now. And hope you're having a good day. Thank you for joining us. Pray you'll have many blessings. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living offering, separated, or pure, separated, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. Now let's go to 1 Peter 2:5 for that parallel understanding. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. I'm probably reading this too fast for some of you that are new on the block here. So you could look it up in your own, Romans 12. For I say through the favor given unto me to every man that is among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Yeah. Don't think you're so important. If a chicken dies, it makes the headlines down there in California. What was that little town where they was famous for chickens? Creswell, Oregon would be another one. Petaluma, California. Thanks. But so it makes the headlines more than what a human might hope that his face and name would be in the newspaper down there in Petaluma. But the chickens are more important than the people, or at least they were back in the day. But to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In verse 16, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Why do I have the feeling that people are agreeing with this scripture? I'm not used to this. People agreeing with what the word says. I mean, everybody else thinks that we should have high self-esteem. I think if any self-esteem, maybe a healthy, moderate look, but we don't want to have low esteem of ourselves, but we certainly don't want to think that we're less than what Yahweh has created us for, but we don't want to certainly think above of that either. Thank you. Yeah. Penny's handing the scripture now, and we're going to 1 Peter 2, and that was verse 5. Okay. You also as lively stones, see, the little stones, you as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a separated priesthood to offer up spiritual offerings, acceptable to Yahweh by Yahusha. Yahusha is the name we believe is the Messiah, not Jesus, although I used that for 40 years. No, I used it for 50. 55 years. It's going up. But then I stopped when I found out that Jesus meant the Greek goddess of healing in any language, according to the Strong's Concordance. So as lively stones, you are built up a spiritual house, a separated priesthood to offer up spiritual offerings. So you are a priest in Yahweh. So we should be, we should have the garments of a priest on us, shouldn't we not? And there is also a Luke reference. And that was, where'd it go? 17:10. Now, let me try to get there in a hurry here. I'm not handing the scripture to my wife quickly enough, so now I'm going to have to turn to it on my own. Luke 17:10. This is really important. So likewise, you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, you say that we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, we don't want to just, you know, feel that it's a just a mercenary duty or something to obey Yahweh. We want to go beyond that and live with the spirit of Yahweh. But so that was in response to Romans 12:1, to present your bodies a living offering, pure, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is only, it's just your reasonable service. Don't think like you're doing him a favor. But certainly that Yahweh does rejoice in the praises of his people and the good works of his people. So he appreciates the good work you're doing. But on the other hand, we're not doing him such a favor that he owes us anything. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this," what do you mean the law? "For this," he's perfected the law. "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery." Well, that's a good commandment. We can all agree. Well, most of us can agree on that. "Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear with false witness. Thou shalt not covet." If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So it's briefly summarized, and not doing away with all the each individual ingredient, but it's summarizing the law. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." At least the other six commandments of the tables of the law, it summarizes it up as to love your neighbor as yourself. And here it doesn't define what loving your neighbor is, but, well, a little bit it does. Verse 10, "Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling or goal of the law. And knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Walk honestly." Let's walk honestly as in the day. How can you do it honestly if you're lying, going against Yahweh's word, and pretending that Yahweh's word says something that it doesn't? We're not walking in truth. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Messiah, Yahusha, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Him that is weak in the faith receive you not, but to doubtful disputations." Then going on to the book of John, 14:21. In John, the Messianics like to say Yochanan or Yochanan. 14, verses 24. Yes. Thanks for joining us. This is the Stefan Yahn Yahweh website, and we are reading some scriptures here about somewhat concerning the law under the heading of the covenant of Yahweh. Where am I? John. I had it here. Get distracted. Okay. And so far we're about 20 minutes into the, I'll tell you exact, 24 minutes into the broadcast. And it looks like we'll probably go into two different sections of this broadcast. I thought we were just going to go for 40 minutes, but it looks like it might be split it up 2.5 hours or something. John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. Now wait a minute, are Yahweh's commandments, Yahweh the Father's commandments different than his Son, Yahusha, the Messiah? No. He says, I am in the Father. You know, they agree that on the same thing, Yahusha, the Messiah, obeyed his Father's commandments. And Yahusha, the Messiah, is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by the Messiah. So, I ran into an arrogant, protesting huckster, Christian huckster, in the store the other day, and at first he gave me a nice greeting that let me know that he was some kind of a religious man, so I just told him I was, you know, a believer. I says, "Oh, I'm a believer." Well, he got a little haughty about that when he saw my Hebraic attire and said, "I'm a knower. I'm a knower," he announced to everyone there in front of and then he asked that they at the Dollar Tree would take his resume so he could, you know. I think he was a radio broadcaster, Christian radio broadcaster, so he's out of a job. That's no surprise to me because the way the world is, they're putting those men out of jobs. But he that has my commandments. See, I should have said to the man, well, if you're a knower, what do you know about him? And what, you know, how does he know you? What are the terms here? And if you know him, do you keep his commandment? Are you a doer or just a knower? Yeah. But I wouldn't respond in kind and be haughty with him and, you know, try to put on that arrogance of, I'm a doer, I'm a knower, I know it all. I do more than anybody else. No, I wouldn't try to be arrogant, high-minded, and think that I'm so important or so much better, because that would be going against the principles of Yahweh. John 14:21 then says that he that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Yehuda said unto him, not Iscariot, Yehuda said, Yahweh, how is it? Or L-O-R-D, I don't know, the Greek there, whatever it used, but it's corrupt, Hellenized, L-O-R-D. Lord, or I don't want to say that, but Yahweh, or Yahusha is the Messiah. Yahusha, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Yahusha answered and said unto him, If a man love him, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine. So he didn't make up his own commandments. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And on to, as we reach for higher heights and deeper depths, John 15:6, in the next column there, 15:6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father magnified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my emissaries. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love, as the Father has loved him. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So even as I, Messiah, he said, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that you would be in real deep bondage. No, he says, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. If we keep his commandments, our joy will be full. If we keep his commandments just because we're afraid that he's going to punish us, and that's the only reason, then I don't think our joy would be full. If we keep his commandments because we want to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we might attain that fulfilling of our joy. Our joy might be full or fulfilled, or the goal, the end. of all of this would be that our joy would be full. So that's all Yahweh's work, and that's all fine and good, but, you know, the application is even tougher when you get out into the world of people who are just being too human and not enough, not spiritual enough, not wanting to walk in Yahweh's ways. And so far we're just going through John now. We went through Romans from chapter 9 and 10 into John 14 and 15, and then on to chapter 16, verse 7. Here's some admonition that I'd like to share, which you've heard before. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, Messiah said. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He'll reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. He'll reprove the world of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit, and I don't know about that pronoun, he, some try to change it to a different pronoun. There's he, she, or it. But anyway, you could look that up. We only have the Greek to go by, unless somebody finds the original manuscript. Howbeit when he, the Ruach HaKadosh, or the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Somebody will be quick to jump on that and say, well, then that proves there's a third person individual out there, the Trinity, who is, you know, Roman Catholic type Trinity. I don't really get into those discussions, pro or con, but that I just believe that the Spirit, and we just believe here that the Spirit is the Spirit of Yahushua the Messiah, and the Spirit of the Father is the Spirit. So if you want to make that separate, well, that's, you know, according to your doctrinal or denominational understanding. Yeah, we don't, you know, I don't think it'll change the way that you or I behave. I don't think it'll change anything. We're going to go to Galatians next. But, you know, I think the main thing is how it affects your behavior. Oh, and he said the Spirit will reprove the world of judgment. Also here in 12:31 of John. Now is the judgment of this world, that's John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Galatians 2:16. Now it's going to get a little deeper, a little tougher now. We wade out a little deeper into the water, and the Protestants are out there quick to say that the law was done away with. And we should probably go to part two and split this file up here, this MP3, so it'll make it a little bit easier during the service here. I hate to break it up, but it'll make it easier for people to download. We're 33 minutes into the broadcast, part one of Romans, John, Galatians, Ephesians, and so on, talking about the law of Yahweh within his eternal covenant. Thank you for joining us. Please click on the next file and have that loaded up for part two of this broadcast. Stephan Yah with you. Shalom until part two.